Is it rolling, Bob?
I wasn't going to do this, but here I am. I trudged back up the hill to get my recorder and a glass of wine. I had one full-size drink left over from the wine I bought to share with the teachers. We drank every evening back in my rooms in the various hotels, and there was just enough left over. Mike passed me a good plastic wine glass, and here I am, folks, sitting in not an Adirondack chair, are they Laurentian chairs? What's the proper word for these things? The Canadian version for these big chairs that sit out in cottages. It's so funny, when I made the mistake of Adirondack, somebody corrected me and said, "Hey, are you American? Muskoka chair? No, that doesn't sound right either." Well, that's very typical of the Dixon Chains podcast. The host, yours truly, fumbles for words. It'll come to me. Anyway, cheers. It's about 6 o'clock on Sunday. Sunday, that's right. I have another full day ahead of me. Where I last left off, I think I was in Montreal, old Montreal. And had that farewell ceremony for the students. And I don't think I recorded after that. It was tearful. It was heartfelt. It was wonderful. The hotel we stayed in was great. A lot of photos taken with Ken Sensei. A lot of hugs from these lovely young girls. And then the next morning up at 5:20. No, I probably told you that part. I probably recorded from the airport. Yes, sorry. I'm in a different time zone now, it feels. Mike picked me up at noon, as promised, and off we went to Big Pete's for a smoked meat after dropping by his house in Beaconsfield. He has a lovely home in Beaconsfield, West Island, Montreal. Mike has done very well for himself. He knew what he wanted at a young age, and he's just a person I'm so glad I knew as a very immature high school student. I somehow managed to make friends with people older than me, wiser than me, certainly at that age, and with more sophisticated tastes, especially in the case of Mike. I've mentioned him before, and I don't want to repeat myself too much here, but he knew what he wanted. So he has a beautiful vintage Mercedes-Benz that he doesn't drive too often. He has a lovely house in Beaconsfield, a collection of Leicas, and this cottage that's been in the family somehow since 1914. And has had a lot of work put into it, and it's on a lake at which I'm sitting now. We've just come back from canoeing. I ventured at Bark Lake. I didn't get a chance, and this would be the first year without a canoe trip. Well, sure enough, I show up here a week later, and we're in a canoe. And it was quite lovely. Very, very nice lake. I think it's St. Francois Xavier. I'm not sure. I won't give you the exact location, but I'm in the Laurentians. And I've been up here many times. In fact, I was up here last year after the tour as well. Traditionally, I just meet Mike for one day. And we do a tour of the lakeshore. We have smoked meat together. But this time, I sort of invited myself back to his place because I changed my train from Sunday, which would have been today. I'd just be arriving home at this time if I had not changed plans. And instead, I'm getting a later train on Tuesday. And I'm very, very glad I made that change, because it's rare to find a place like this and the solitude. And Mike and his wife, Mary, lead a fairly quiet life. Mary is an avid gardener and reader. Both their places, Beaconsfield and up here, look fabulous. The gardens are just quite amazing. And We share a bottle of wine and we chat. Mike and I trade old memories and stories and talk about our families, our children, our views on life. It's a nice level of conversation. And respect each other's differences. Mike was the person that in 1969 I had planned to travel to Europe with. And Mike decided not to and did me a big favor by deciding not to, because I had to struggle a little harder to get by on my own. In the end, it's just what I needed. This is a very quiet lake. No sea-doos anywhere in sight. They are not allowed. Rowboats, canoes, kayaks, and very, very small little powered boats, but don't see any, and you seldom ever hear them. It looks like a small lake. Mike said there is a total of about 200 homes around it. It looks like you might be lucky to count 50 from what you can see, but a very old area. Anyway, I'm only talking to you just because I like to plug in at the various points and tell you where I am and what I'm at and what I'm doing. Mike is back up at the cottage, barbecuing. The cottage is up high up on a hill, but he bought a right-of-way in the land, quite a big right-of-way in the land, heading down to the water where there had been a house and it burned down, and Mike just offered to buy the land, so he now has a little dock for his canoe, kayak, and sailboat. Not really a sailboat, but a small one-sail little trainer type thing. Very, very comfortable home. Three levels, I guess, yeah. I've got my own room in the basement, lovely big size bed, and my own private shower and bathroom. We were able to throw some of my old clothes, dirty clothes, smelly clothes, into the washer and dryer today. I've been reading and enjoying very much just sitting up on this top deck from where you have a beautiful, unobstructed view of the lake. It's got a hummingbird feeder up there, but it attracts everything. I saw a couple of big blue jays honing in on the action, and it's just a very, very nice place to be. And last night we got into, I bought Mary a bottle of Australian wine. We polished that off pretty well. And some white wine before that. And I bought two more bottles of Australian wine. And as soon as I get back, I will propose opening one of those. Yeah. A friendship that goes back to, let's see, 61. Probably 1963, 62, 63. That's a long way back, folks. That's a long way back. And I'm grateful to have kept it up all these years. Hearing a little French across the lake. Anyway, not much more to say. I just wanted to bring you up to date. I haven't put together the podcast from Quebec City, and I don't think I'll bother while I'm here. It's just, this is just going to be downtime for me. So I'll have a few podcasts to catch up on when I get back home. But unless it pours rain tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to do that. You'll just have to wait. And this will probably be the next broadcast. This will be the Montreal Laurentians one. Although I don't think I'll be recording much more from here. It's just too nice just to sit back and do nothing. The bed is very comfortable. I woke up several times and just would go drift back to sleep and probably didn't get up till about 10 this morning, which was a luxury, having gotten up at 5:20 the day before. And yeah. This is exactly what I wanted. A glass of wine on the dock by the water. The day, weather-wise, I was telling Mike, I said, now, if you would give me the controller for wind, temperature, sky color, I wouldn't touch it because it was perfect. Thought that was a nice little way of explaining it. It really was. I stepped out onto their deck with my book, my cup of coffee, and it was perfect. It just felt so good. And as does this, I'm in my shorts, my bathing suit actually, because we were canoeing earlier, and a t-shirt. And there's a coolness now that the sun is behind the trees. The other side of the lake, of course, is full sunlight. And it's just an absolutely wonderful feeling. And it is a familiar spot. I mean, you remember, I've come up here when I was in high school. I've come up here with a former girlfriend. I've come up here many times during my life. I have many stories, not all of which Mike would want me to recall, so I won't. But, yeah, it's been some good times. And I'm just lucky that nobody was else up from his family. Mary has an extended family, and they often come up, but our tour ended just at a time when there were no other visitors. I'm sorry. So that worked out well. I had very lovely notes from both the teachers thanking me for this special tour that their students could enjoy so much. And, of course, always a card from the students with their obligatory thank yous. Now, that is weird. I'm looking across the lake, and I saw what I thought was a person. And then it didn't move, and I thought, oh, isn't that amazing? That's a life-size sculpture. And I looked at it for the longest time, and I thought, it's odd that anybody would have a sculpture down by the water of a human form. And now it just moved. And I guess it's doing poses. Now the arms outstretched, the legs spread, facing the sun. And I'm guessing this is a ritual. Arms raised. It's close to yoga. It's certainly not Tai Chi. But, what I thought, because it kept one position for the longest time. And only now it's come to life. Pontoon boat, very, very quietly motoring down the lake. A little bit of music playing. But again, there are rules, and if that pontoon boat was blasting music, they would track down who it was, and somebody would do or say something. It's a community. They do have little events, and Mary goes out in not the Voyager canoe, but the dragon boat once a week, and is canoeing or kayaking with others on a regular basis. Swims often. And, anyway, I guess that's enough for now. Soon time for me to polish off this wine, enjoy just a little bit more of the silence. But I felt conflicted about talking to you, and then why would I leave here and go up and get my recorder, which I did. Lucky for you, I needed wine too, so when I got the wine, I got the recorder. And here we are. And I'm going to end it at that. I don't know at all when I'll next talk to you. I'm doubting it'll be from here. Probably as I'm, getting on the train to head home. So, thanks for being a faithful Dixon James listener, and I hope you've enjoyed this little travel log. One I do every year, and I'm committed already. Firmly committed to doing next year. And in fact, looking forward to it very much. Why wouldn't I enjoy going to Quebec and Ottawa, Montreal? Montreal camp. Why wouldn't I enjoy that? Of course I am. Of course I want to keep doing this. We talked a little last night, like, how am I going to keep this business going? I am getting older. Like, I need a partner. But I don't want to just give it away. It would be nice to have somebody else do some of the stuff. And yet, I'm just saying to Mike, I don't know who could do the things I'm doing. I mean, you have to have a sense of Japan. You have to really understand Japanese people, Japanese ways. Even though I'm still learning and goofing up occasionally. That's essential. And then the part about recruiting host families, that's a special skill. So it couldn't be just anybody, but it would be nice to have somebody else drawn in. And I don't know whether what I'd ideally like. Well, and I don't know that it's viable as to have somebody else buy my wife's percentage of the company, the 30% she owns, I hear. But then again, I don't want to just give that away. I'd buy it, get some money, and then you'll get your money back and still maintain 30% of the company. But there's no guarantee this company will keep going. So it's very questionable that anybody would want to buy into this. What would they want? What would they want? What guarantees? What kind of a contract could we draw up? All right. Leave it at that. Don't want to get into the business of things. Yours truly, maybe, slowly moving back towards the Scarborough dude as I start thinking about moving back to Scarborough. Now that my students have left, I don't have to be Ken anymore. Not sure what all that means, but I leave that for you to sort out. Bye. For now, from an absolutely gorgeous lakeside vantage point north of Montreal in the quiet Laurentians. Bye-bye.
J'ai pas rêvé, je suis avec toi dans un motel. Prends la main, on est déjà le matin. Par la fenêtre, on voit l'autoroute et puis le ciel. La pluie tombe tranquillement sur l'asphalte noir du stationnement. On est déjà le matin, me semble qu'on vient d'arriver. T'as le même prénom que ma mère, ça fait drôle d'y penser. Tes cheveux sentent comme tes yeux jouaient toute la terre. J'oublie ma job, j'oublie de m'en faire. J'entends des petits oiseaux dans un motel de l'île Perrault. Dans un motel de l'île Perrault. J'ai pas le goût de la regarder. personne qu'on vient d'arriver. T'as le même prénom que ma mère, ça fait drôle d'y penser. Tes cheveux sentent comme l'été, dans tes yeux je vois toute la terre. J'oublie ma job, j'oublie de m'en faire. J'entends des petits oiseaux dans un motel de l'île Perrot, dans un motel de l'île Perrot.
Yeah, check, check, check. This may sound a little strange. I've got the mic set on low sensitivity, and we're just pulling into Cornwall, Ontario. I've just found out this train does stop at Guildwood, which is in Scarborough, so that's very, very convenient. It means if Naoko were to able to pick me up, well, it's Guildwood is further than... Yeah, okay. Back up. It saves me taking the GO train from Union Station all the way back to Scarborough and lugging my heavy suitcase up and down stairs or on and off trains and so on, and upstairs at the Eglinton Station. It's horrible. So, yeah, get off at Guildwood, and if I'm early, I arrive at just about 10 to 4. She doesn't finish work at 5, but I could just grab a cab. So anyway, this is just to say... I'm winding down this series of road trips. This is the end. I'm on the Via Rail, Train 65. Mike dropped me off at the station this morning. I enjoyed a leisurely wait with my very good book, which I'm enjoying so much. And, yeah... All is well. It was an excellent visit. Mike, I had three wonderful meals. I mean, you stay at somebody's place, you're happy to get a bed. But we had turkey the first night. I guess roasted in the oven. Steaks that were fabulous the second night, and vegetables done on the barbecue. And then a stir-fry chicken last night with vegetables. It was all really, really good. So hats off to both Mike and Mary as hosts. I've got to know Mary better each time, often over a glass or two or three of wine, which is nice. And so I left behind a couple of bottles. And just, you know, what a wonderful way to end the trip. And here's a friend I connect with once a year. It's a tradition. Starting off with our smoked meat and then up to his cottage. And boy, was that ever pleasant. Just sitting on the deck, we talked late into the night last night. I mean, a lot of our talk is old stories of shared memories. Excuse me. But also new observations. So hang on. Is this yours? Okay. I'll just move this over. Just a second while I move.
I'll sit here for right now.
All right. I'll move the stuff over. And when somebody comes, if you're good... Great, thanks. All right, so I'm going to put an end to this and get back to my reading my book. Yeah, so Scarborough, here we come. And looking forward to getting home. Looking forward to seeing Naoko and my cat and my son and the second son showing up in a day or two. This is all good. So Scarborough dude. Yeah, that's me again. Tour's over. Back at you. Bye for now. Yes, yes, yes. So if you heard that bell, you can guess where I'm at. I'm sitting in the road track, and I haven't sat in here for probably close to 3 weeks. It's sad that this thing has had so little use this summer. I had these big plans. In fact, today was the day I was supposed to be heading off for Edmonton to pick up Barnacle Bill and then carry on our way up north to Yellowknife And yet now that it's not happening, it's almost as if, what's it ever going to happen? I really thought so. I mean, that was the plan. But, sometimes we don't know our own minds. Anyway, I want to be positive here. Fasten your seatbelts, or if you're walking your dog, take the long way home, because this might be a long clip. It is August 16th, Wednesday, just after 9 p.m., and I got some catching up to do. This is my first clip from back home. The study tour is officially over. I put up, I guess the last podcast I put up was Quebec and Montreal. And I think I recorded, in fact, I know I recorded a short clip from my friend Mike's place in the Laurentians. And I guess this is the clip that follows. It's good to be home. Yuki was very, very pleased to see me. Yuki, if you're a new listener, is my cat, not my wife, but my wife was pleased too. And I got home yesterday by a train from Montreal. My good friend Mike again picked me up at the hotel near the airport and then dropped me off at the train station 3 days later. And that was a wonderful little holiday. It's probably hard to describe Mike. Mike is a bit of a loner by choice. He knows what he likes. He leads a fairly quiet life. He doesn't like large crowds of people or big parties. He keeps to himself. As you know, they have a select groups of friends. Some they travel with, maybe to Europe. Some from church, some from work. But not a wide circle of friends as I do. But I've kept in touch for years, and this has been a tradition, I guess, for many, many years now, meeting Mike while we're in Montreal with the tour. I used to meet him downtown and invite him to lunch when I was taking the teachers out. But lately, I've been staying an extra day or so in Montreal after the girls leave for Japan, and we go out to Île Perrot, I guess. Is it Île Perrot or Bay d'Urfé? Can't remember which. I should know. Sorry. A smoked meat. Big Pete's smoked meat. And man, is it good. That has just got to be one of the best ever. It's a tradition and a nice one. Anyway, Mike just spoiled me with three meals. Very, very good suppers, including steak and then a stir fry. And sometimes it's good to just observe other people's lives. Hang on, I'm going to shut the light off. I don't really need a light on while we're in here. I can just sit in the dark and talk. It's kind of cozy that way. There we go. That way nobody walking up or down the street can see me either, because I am parked in the driveway. Where was I? Observing other people's lives and how they go, and virtually everyone I know, every couple, the man in the couple does far more than I do to support the wife. I know that sounds strange. Well, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's... I've probably talked about this a lot in the past, but... Anyway, it inspired me. I came home yesterday. I was tired, and we sent out for sushi. It was sort of a celebration of the end of the successful tour. Turned to profit again, and sushi is a good way to celebrate, and it's just what I felt like, and Nelko was ready for. Something the three of us enjoy. It's a treat. But I said, tonight, I'll cook supper. And Mike had made me a stir fry on the last day, and I just asked for some tips and how he did it, and then went on to all recipes. Got a recipe, which, you know, I didn't follow strictly, but it was very good guidelines, like cooking the vegetables separately, setting aside, keeping warm, and then cooking the chicken. But most importantly, making that, marinade. I made mine out of soy sauce and sesame oil. There might have been a couple of other things tossed in there. But it was a hit. It, not a bit of it left. We had basmati rice, and it was very tasty. I was very pleased. Threw in some peanuts at the last minute because we didn't have any cashews. And it was good. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. So I'm pleased. And that's just, again, point was, I should be doing this more often. And all of this goes back to not going to Yellowknife. Believe it or not, we got a wide web here. And the pieces kind of tie together or are intertwined. This being around means I can and will get to a couple of those things that are on the list. Like, if not the driveway, maybe the garage door before winter, yes. That chimney work to see where the leak's coming from, yes. Not done yet, of course, but hey, come on, been back a day. But being around means I can do those things. I know it was the right decision. And to take on the job back at school. Now I look at my what's left of the summer, and of course my son is showing up. He's arriving back in Toronto tonight. We'll see him probably tomorrow. So, of course, I'm not going to take off on a trip down to the Maritimes. And I realize, well, if I don't do that now, there really is no more time. I've got a staff meeting last week of August. And, you know, to do it comfortably, it's a 2-3 day trip. I mean, you can do it in 2 days, but, you know, 3 days if I want to enjoy it, to get there and back, well, bam, all your time is spent traveling. So I've resigned myself to maybe just making a few trips around Ontario, Southern Ontario, you know, campgrounds here and there, if I can find any that are open. I'd love to go up to Tobermory, the national park, which is always full. And hopefully there'll be a little time this fall. Ooh, there's a good one. Go up to Silver Lake and visit my good friend, Mr. The guy with the funny name. Doofus? No, it's not Doofus. It's Wooby. Yes, Wooby. Mr. Wooby, who has an assignment due. Francis, you better get to it. I want to shout out to Rob Lee, who, waiting to hear back about a job. Oh, how I hope, how I'm cheering you on, Rob. You're a good man, and just hope it works out. But, God, by the time you hear this, if you do, it'll be history and you'll know one way or the other. And while I'm at it, shout out to his wife, Catherine Matthews. I'm playing some Beau Dommage and thought of you. Maybe not your style of music, but it just, you know, anything French. I connect with you, which is odd. I have French friends, but because, you know, you guys lived in France and you know French, and you're both good people. So, hope you enjoy. This is the CD that I bought in Quebec City, and it's so nice. Oh, and then there's a little card, and on his business card, there is that statue of Elvis I talked about in an earlier podcast, or the bust of Elvis that sits on his front desk. It's wonderful. It's a trademark. I'm sure it brings in customers. And I will go back there again next year and perhaps ask him for something else that's Quebecois music. But a couple of cuts on this Beau Dommage CD, and man, they're good. And of course, I knew at least one of them anyway, the hit, which you will hear. You'll hear two cuts on this podcast. That's all I'm saying. And it all ties in. It's a nice way to sum up the tour, the joy of that, you know, that walk along Rue Saint-Jean in Quebec City. It is a fine, fine tradition, all these traditions, but that is the past, and I don't want to go on. I've talked enough about it in the various podcasts I put out. This is we're back in Toronto now, and we're moving forward. I do have to make sure I get on a few camping trips with this thing, because I really have barely used it. Okay, so put that aside. I'm still reading this book, Hickory Wind. the story of Graham Parsons. And God damn, what a sad story. Of just somebody who, rich kid from a troubled family and needing love and fame and going about it in all the wrong ways, being, I guess, a decent musician, certainly with a vision of, you know, wanting to get country rock and together and to have people appreciate his country roots. But getting totally wasted by alcohol and drugs. And when he gave up heroin, he turned to alcohol, as many do, and was just as much of a mess. No thanks to Keith Richards, who he kind of adored, and they had, or I think Graham had hopes of latching on and doing something with Keith Richards on their record label. They were good buddies. They hung out. They jammed together. But as we all know, Keith Richards was a hard-time drug user, and poor Graham, it destroyed him. There was a passage in the book that I wanted to read out because, you know, we talk about it. This isn't just a biography of a rock star. It's a history of that time. And that's what I enjoy so much, and even reading more and more and more of people who are just constantly being cross-referenced. You know, somebody with Stephen Stills is going to pop up in this book, as is Joni Mitchell, as is Laurel Canyon, and all these other people and places and bars and LPs. It's just, and it's of my time, so I can relate to. Anyway, here's a quote that I found interesting. The summer winds of America had blown hot and fiery. 1968 had become the year of darkness. By Thanksgiving, the United States had dropped more bombs on Vietnam than it had on all the enemies of World War II, and hadn't moved an inch closer to any kind of victory. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, and ghettos across the country erupted in flames. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, and Chicago, site of the Democratic National Convention, became a battlefield. The Beatles issued calming music, Hey Jude, Don't Be Afraid. Bob Dylan's backup band, called The Band, combined backwoods roots with gritty rock in hits like Wheels of Fire. The Stones sang about revolution and street fighting man, and the group that the sub-band used to open for, The Rascals, hit number one with People Gotta Be Free. Graham let that parade pass by. He may have helped write songs about ducking the draft and about hippies mixing with straights, but he had no interest in protest songs. As he told Bud Scopa in 1970, I don't like the I ain't marching anymore attitude. He would attempt social comedy, he said, only if it's positive and not deeply philosophical, any more than I can avoid. All right, I think I could have skipped that last paragraph because really my point was before of just, you know, yeah, the reminders, what was going on in 68. It's just well written, called Hickory Wind, The Life and Times of Graham Parsons, whether or not you're interested in his music, although I've gone back and now, of course, as is the pattern, I want to download some of that music. He was with the Flying Burrito Brothers a lot. He wasn't to be trusted. Like, he would sign up with the band and then drift off. And then when he got enamored with Keith Richards, he'd sort of, you know, avoid his commitments and disappear for a while. Flying Burrito Brothers, he was shortly with the Birds, very briefly, when they fired Stephen Stills. And his own international submarine band. And it started off as a folky, you know, during the time of the Kingston Trio and the New Christy Minstrels. So it is an interesting bit of history. It really is. And it just gives me so much pleasure. Just a lot of that time up north with Mike was just quietly reading. And back beside my bed, I've got three more books ready to go. Still finishing off the one on Grateful Dead, and then the new one about Mike Love and the Beach Boys. Okay, so much for music. Where else were we going to go with this recording? That may have been enough for now. I'm sure there are other things on my mind. I woke up thinking I had mixed feelings about going back to school, but again, the more I think about it, it is the time for me to be around, and I'll take off another time. I mean, who knows? The winter may come, and I just may disappear in the winter, and I may could head to California. Who knows? You're going to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. So, boys, girls, it was very important that I come out here and talk with you and share this. It's sort of, I feel that way after a trip. I've got to ground myself back home and sort of just stabilize a bit. Today was just, it was so wonderful. I went to bed relatively early last night, got up earlier than usual today, and got a whole lot done. Got all my accounts factored in, bills paid, and, you know, unopened mail dealt with, and the tour right up to date, what I owe. I just have one old company, my caps company, that I'm going to have to do something about, because the feds are watching or asking. So, I guess that's it. Enjoy Beau-Dommage, and I'll talk to you again soon. Gosh, I don't want to let go just yet, but I don't think I have anything more of interest to add right now. So, this is a yours truly, your host, back to being the Scarborough Dude, although there's a lot of Ken mixed in there now, because Ken is a damn nice guy, and I'm hearing that from different places. Maybe that's why I need Scarborough Dude, sort of just to balance things out a little more. So, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Signing off, and catch you real soon. I better go back to hear the end of the latest, what do they call it? The show hole. The one the mothers aren't supposed to listen to, but they do. Oh, my God. Brent, you are in trouble. Scarborough Dude! Signing off.
Plus le goût de boire sa bière.
mes amis sont disparus, et moi non plus, je me reconnais plus. On est 10 000 à rue Saint-Paul, avec le blues, la métropole.
Pick that up today, The Byrds' Final Approach. I guess it's Columbia Records just wanted to try and get something out of them. Legacy Series. There was about 15 tracks they've done, a few Dylan tunes there, a couple. And then a couple from the 1990 Roy Orbison tribute. And then the Nashville Sessions, new 1990 recordings, including He Was a Friend of Mine, which I liked. I picked this up at Deja Vu. I like going there. It was only $8 for 21 songs. The reason is, of course, I've been reading the Hickory Wind, The Life and Times of Graham Parsons, and he played with the Byrds and was very tight with Chris Hillman. I think Roger McGuinn didn't like him too much. I mean, he burned so many people, but anyway, I had to find something. So I went in looking for anything by Graham Parsons. They didn't have anything here. They only put out one solo album called GP. And then I thought, well, what other groups was he with? Well, the Flying Burrito Brothers. Nothing. Not even listed. And then just remembered, oh, the Byrds. He was with them. So there is a song on this CD that he actually wrote. Green Apple Quickstep. And I think, I'm not sure when these were actually recorded. It was released in 1990. I think they were, of course, recorded much earlier. He may have actually sung on a couple of tracks. I have to do a little research there. But anyway, I needed to complete that tie-in. You know how I get excited? I'm like a kid. Well, no. Kids, I suppose I get the excitement a kid gets when you get something new. But they're very simple pleasures. And it's, okay, I found this used book, which I'm just, man, it's just such a good read. But you probably hear that from me all the time. But this time, I really mean it. Anyway, I had to find, you know, music that went with it. And this has just been terrific. So finding this Bird CD was great. The reason I went there was I was actually heading to Chapters to get a copy of the Rolling Stone magazine, make sure it was still out. Remember in an earlier podcast when I was in Ottawa, I was trying to get it and couldn't find it. And the one with not Justin Bieber, but Justin Trudeau on the cover. Here it is. Jesus. And they had many copies. A very handsome picture of them. 50th anniversary here. What a great heading. Justin Trudeau. Why can't he be our president? Now, the Trump administration is destroying the EPA, and of course, so much more since then. Foo Fighters Fight Back and Arcade Fire. So, a copy I needed for my collection. I do have certain issues that I keep. And while I was there, of course, I went to look. I always look at Uncut and Mojo because they come with a CD, even though you're paying. How much is it? Canadian? $14, $13.99 Canadian. But this has got 15 tracks on it by, you know, Broken Social Scene and lots of other people I'm looking forward to hearing. It'll be something entirely new, like music I've never heard, so it's all going to be new for me. And then Inside, of course, The Invention of David Bowie, 50 Years On, How a Star Was Born, exclusive The Return of the War on Drugs, and stuff like that. 30 Greatest Radio Hit Songs, sometimes I don't read a whole lot. Well, Greg Allman remembered 1947 to 2017. Nice picture of him. So, I like that. But these are just kind of simple pleasures. They don't cost a whole lot of money. But they make me feel so good. It's a rainy day. Ooh, almost forgot. I'm here at Thompson Park. I had stuff to do, I think, and I don't think I've done that yet. Yeah, I gotta sell my tent. Anybody need a tent? I got a couple of tents. Now that I got a road trek, I don't need them. And camping gear. Our garage is so tight, you have to take the car out to get at anything, which is fine. We got room for the three vehicles in the driveway. But I really should get rid of the stuff I'm not using. I sort of hate to. I've got this Coleman stove. You know the old, you pump them up, you fill it up with what do you call it? It's not kerosene. Whatever, you know, the flammable liquid. You fill it up and then you just pump and pump and pump, maybe 50 pumps. And they work, and you got a two-burner stove. They never fail. They're great. It's old technology. Oh, my God, it's raining now, and I see there's a huge gathering. But they're under a great big tent. This is wonderful, this park. People can actually have family gatherings and special events. I just noticed because somebody's running down there in the rain. So I really, there's sort of treasures. Like, you know, I hate to get rid of that Coleman burner, but do I really need it? In fact, I've got two of them. It's so hard. It's so hard. And I really want to start doing my wife some favors by, you know, okay, I'm cooperating. Yeah, we'll get rid of all this stuff. We don't need it anymore. So if you need a tent, get in touch, would you? I shouldn't even be talking to you right now. I've put out so many of these damn podcasts lately, but I've just got to get this out of my system. I was excited about this stuff, you know? CDs, books. Almost finished a Grateful Dead bio. The guy, I really don't care for the guy. Like, he talked about being pissed off. He had a concert, and he stayed up late partying. They didn't check in till 4 in the morning. And outside his room, there was a jackhammer as they changed the one, you know, what was a Holiday Inn changed to a Ramada Inn or something, and somebody had to take down a sign with a jackhammer. And he got pissed off, and nobody do anything. So he unplugged the TV, cut the cord, then pulled the phone jack, you know, off, and put the bare wires into the phone jack and shorted out the entire phone system as his revenge in the end. And he said it was the worst time. It was 9 in the morning, so all the businessmen, all the people trying to check out, everybody trying to make a call was stuck. And that was his revenge. Like, what an asshole. Jesus Christ. But there was so much information there about. Now, I'd really rather read a good biography about Jerry Garcia. But, hey, this was that book I found in the Dollarama. So, none of it really matters. Does my trivia bore you? My little details of my life? One of the reasons I bought this CD, the final, it was only $7.99, but the final thing was, this would be a great CD to listen to going down the road in my road trek. Because it's got that country music flavor. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want, something like this. So I guess that's about it. I think I've only got, I don't know, how many more minutes? Probably not long. I probably only had 10 minutes left. So let's have another tune. And here we go to end on. This is the one by Graham Parsons, who is, keen on down-home country music. Episode of the Dixon James Podcast. Oh yeah! Scabberdee! Signing off. Okay, excuse this interruption, but I just kind of end on this note. I picked up my copy of Hickory Wind that I've just been talking about. And I just got to the point where somebody died. The circle of musicians, the tragedies of alcohol and car accidents and so on. And I'm just reading. They're at the funeral. And they don't know what to do after the service. And somebody starts humming. And the next thing, other people join in. And the words start coming. Tempted and tried. We've oft made to wonder and so on. It was a traditional gospel song, Farther Along, well known in bluegrass circles, and the voices were those of, Bernard Leadon and by his side, Graham Parsons. Now, I'm only mentioning this because totally by coincidence, at the exact time I'm reading that this song came up, the song was playing in the background on the CD I just bought. It's this one you're hearing now. That is just so weird, you know? Yeah, coincidence. You know, I'm reading about Graham Parsons and music, but I don't know. I just love that kind of thing. You did get it, right? Song Farther Along, I'm reading about how they sang that at the funeral, not realizing at the same time the song was playing in the background. I thought, wait a minute. I'm reading the lyrics. I'm hearing those lyrics, too. Oh, my God. What a coincidence. All right. That's all. I just needed to share that with you. Sorry for the interruption. You thought I was gone. Well, I wasn't.
From his heart. then we shall be.